The fourth parak starts out with Mishnah Aleph that continues the concept that we saw in the prior parak of Uvdin Dechol. Uvdin Dechol are certain activities done that Chazal said because it is too much like a weekday activity, it cannot be done on Yontif. You can do it in a different fashion, but not in the normal way that it's done during a weekday. That is called Uvdin, an act, Dechol, that is of Chol, that is a weekday activity. So our Mishnah Aleph, is going to start out giving two examples of what is an Uvdin Dechol. The Mishnah says as follows, Hamevi kadeyayin mimakom lamakom, somebody who is moving jugs of wine from one place to another, lo yeviem besal ubekupa, should not carry them in a basket or in a box, because doing it like that is a way that is done on the Chol, that is a way that you move larger quantities of wine and other items, and accordingly, when it comes to Yontif, don't do it in that fashion. Alvei mevi huak seifo olefanav, do it in a way that is normally done to move smaller quantities, not large quantities. Like, for example, just carrying it simply on your shoulder or in front of you, for example, in your hand, but not in a way that larger quantities are carried during the Chol, during the weekdays. Another example, the Mishnah continues, v'chein hamoli chesat heaven, somebody who is carrying a box of straw, lo yavshil et hakupa la'achorav, don't carry the box on your back. That is, interestingly, how movers, they move heavy boxes. They don't carry it in front of them. They carry it on their back, oftentimes strapped onto their back, because there's less of a risk of causing a back injury. But when it comes to carrying the straw on Yontif, aval mevia hubiado, don't carry it on your back, similar to a mover, but rather that, because that's considered an uvdin dechol, but rather carry it in your hand in a normal way that you would not carry a large quantity. Now we're going to continue with the concept of muksa. We're going to see this concept in a number of times in this parak. Muksa literally means it is separate. It's set apart. It is not intended for use on Shabbos and Yontif. So the Mishnah says, umaschilin ba'aremas hateven, somebody wants to, for example, light a fire and wants to use straw, and he has a brand new pile of straw. He really didn't intend on using this to burn a fire. Nonetheless, this is the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, who has a fairly lenient view of muksa. He says it's not going to be muksa because this is something that can be used on Yontif, even though I did not intend on using it. So if you're simply taking it from a new pile of straw, even though that wasn't your intention, but you can use it because it's right there, you're able to access it. It has a functional use for burning on Yontif. Avaloba etzim shebemuksa, however, you cannot take lumber that is located in the muksa. Muksa here is not the same type of muksa that we're talking about. It simply means a storage area in the backyard. So that is a type of wood that is not there for firewood. So it's not like the pile of straw that we're talking about. It's been designated for a whole purpose, for example, for construction. In other words, it's not standing there that it could be used for a Yontif purpose. It's been designated for a non-Yontif purpose, for construction. And accordingly, even Rabbi Shimon, who has a lenient view of muksa, would say that that is muksa. That is something that cannot be used on Yontif without its having been prepared before Yontif. Mishnah Beis, a notlim eitzim min asukah. It's not permitted to detach wood that is part of a hut. It's not necessarily talking about a sukkah that we sit on sukkahs, but any structure on any of the yamim tovim. It's not permitted to take wood that is attached either on the structure, on the walls, or on top, because that is the malacha of soser, of destruction, of demolition. That stira ela min asamuchla, but it is permitted to take wood that is next to the hut, as long as it's not attached to the hut. And now we are going to continue talking about the use of wood. We started seeing this in the prior Mishnah. We saw the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who was of the view that it's permitted to take straw, even though you did not actively prepare it before Yontif, because Rabbi Shimon has a very lenient view of muksa. As long as it is something that is functional, it could be used on Yontif. It's not something that has been designated for a non-Yontif purpose, like wood used for construction. According to Rabbi Shimon, you don't otherwise have to actively prepare it on Erev Yontif in order to take it out of being in the category of muksa, simply by virtue of its being accessible and is being something that is typically used on Yontif. You can use it even though you did not actively intend to use it on Yontif, like the example we saw with the straw, the new pile of straw. Now we're going to see the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda that wood for example, is by default muksa unless you intend to use it on yontif. So the Mishnah says as follows: the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Mevin 18 min hasada min hamechunas is permitted to bring wood to be used on yontif, for example, to light a fire from the field. That's min hasada. That's a non-protected area. That's only permitted if it's mina machunas, if you have gathered it before yontif. In other words, if you intend to use it on yontif, but prior to yontif you prepared it by showing that you gathered it together, then it is permitted to use that wood. However, you can't simply go into a field and start gathering up wood on yontif to use it, because that is considered muksa. Umina karpef, and in addition, even in the sheet of Reb Yehuda, if the wood is already in an enclosed area, that is enough to it's being considered prepared already, and accordingly, because it's in an enclosed protected area, afilu mina mefuzar, you can even use it when it is scattered, because by virtue of its being in an enclosed area, that is something that shows that the person intended to use it on yontif. So that is also the opinion of Reb Yehuda, that it has to show the intention, either by gathering it together or being in a specific type of enclosed area that shows it was intended. And then even if it's scattered, it still can be used. It's not considered muksa. Now we're actually going to see a machlokis of the Tanaim and the rest of the Mishnah. What is the definition of a karpef, an enclosed area, that it's permitted to use the wood even if it has not been actively gathered in before yontif? So the Mishnah asks, Ezehu karpef, what is considered this enclosed area that we can use the wood even when it's scattered? So the first opinion is kol shesamuch le'ir, any enclosed area that is close to the city, that means within 70 and two-thirds amos of the city, that's the iburo shalir. We talk about that in Maseches Eruvin. That means that it's really close to the city. You have the outskirts of the city within 70 and two-thirds of an amma. That is considered something that somebody's mind is on, that he knows coming into yontif that I can use. I am going to use the wood in that enclosed area. It's so close, it's not far for me to travel. That's the opinion of Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi is even more lenient than that. He says, "Kol shenichnasim lo bepotachas, as long as it's an enclosed area that we enter with a key. In other words, it has a lock on it. It's protected. It has a key. Vafilu besoch tchum Shabbos, as long as it is within the tchum Shabbos, which means within 2,000 amas outside the city. That's a tchum also discussed in Masechet Erevin. In other words, it's not 70 and two-thirds amas within the city, within the outskirts of the city, but you have the whole tchum. The whole 2,000 amas, as long as we have a protected area within that 2,000 amas, that would be considered an area that we intend coming into yontif to use the wood. And even if the wood is scattered, but it's in a protected enclosure, then according to Rabbi Yossi, it would be permitted to use that wood on yontif, even in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda's machmir when it comes to muksa, because it is intended to use, even if not actively intended, but just by virtue of being in that enclosed area, that makes it not muksa. Mishnah Gimel continues discussing what types of wood are considered muksa and cannot be used on yontif. The Mishnah says as follows, Emivakin Eitzim, we are not permitted to chop wood for use on yontif. When we're talking about chopping on yontif, lo min hakoros, not from beams that have been designated for construction. In other words, it was not designated before yontif for use in a permitted way, but rather these are beams that have been designated 2x4s for construction. You can't simply use that on yontif. They are muksa. V'lomina kora shenishpara b'yontif. And in addition, if you have a kora, if you have a piece of wood, a 2x4 that broke off of a building, for example, it was being used in construction, it was already used in construction, and on yontif, rather than before yontif, it broke off. That is also considered muksa, because something that is muksa when yontif starts continues to be muksa for the entire yontif. Continuing in the Mishnah, we're not going to talk about wood that is muksa. We're going to talk about types of wood that are not muksa. For example, I have wood that is used for firewood. I designated it for firewood. Or even if it was a construction beam, but before yontif I said I'm going to use this to burn a fire, it takes it out of being muksa. But our question is, What can we use? What utensils can we use and what tools can we use to chop that wood? Because if we use something that is too weekday-like, for example, if we use tools, and this is going to be the examples in our Mishnah of tools that are used by craftsmen, that is not permitted on Yontif. So the Mishnah says, Vein Mavakin, when I have permitted wood, we cannot chop it with lo b'kardom, not with an axe, that's a typical way of cutting, v'lo b'megeirav, and not with a saw, v'lo b'magal, and not with a sickle, but rather ela b'kofitz, you can cut it with a cleaver, which is an unusual way of cutting. That's not a way that a craftsman would cut. He doesn't use a cleaver as one of his tools, and accordingly, that would be a permitted way to cut the wood on Yontif. Now, another point about muksa on Yontif. This is going to be a little bit of a strange scenario. If we have a bayis, shumale peros, if we have a house or a room that's full of fruit, and that's the fruit we want to use on Yontif, but when Yontif starts, it's all sealed up. Now, it's important to note that it's sealed up with bricks, but they are not cemented together. So it is a bayis, shumale peros, it's full of produce, satum, it's closed up because it's sealed. For example, the door is sealed, otherwise where we could access it, but with bricks, but they're not cemented. V'nivchas, and somehow it opened. Somebody broke in and they removed the bricks. It wasn't us that did it. No tel mimkom ha-pchas. According to the Tanakam, it's permitted to take the produce via that area that has been opened. What is going on here is that because it's only an Isser Durabanan, according to the Tanakhama, to remove those bricks, because those bricks were not cemented. Accordingly, even though it was sealed up when Yontif started, but I don't have to do an Isser Daraisa on Yontif to access the bricks, just an Isser Durabanan, and somehow those bricks were removed. There was a small earthquake and they fell in, or a non-Jew came and they removed them for us. We didn't request it. Accordingly, because that's only an Isser Durabanan to remove those bricks, the insides, the produce behind those bricks never achieved the status of being muksa, and accordingly we can access that produce on Yontif. Continuing and finishing up on the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir Omer, Apoches Lechatkila Venoto. Rabbi Meir is of the view that because those bricks are not cemented together, you are permitted to remove them. That's af poches. You can remove the bricks lechatchila. In the first instance, I don't have to wait till they get removed. If they get removed, and I am permitted lechatchila to take the produce on the inside, there is no iser to remove the bricks at all. Not even the rabbanon, according to Rabbi Meir, because they were not cemented together. Mishnah Daled focuses on telling us that we are not permitted to make a kli, and we're going to define a kli here as a functional item, be it on Shabbos or Yontif. It falls under the Isser of Makeh Bipatish, which literally means striking the final hammer blow. So that's tikkun kli, or making a kli, making a functional item, is prohibited, and here we're going to see a number of examples of that. Mishnah Daled says as follows, in pochasin es haner mipneshu oseh kli. It is not permitted to form a ner. In other words, the way that they used to make a ner, it's not talking about our types of candles, but it's talking about a lamp. And the way they would do that, it was they would take a glob of clay and they would hollow it out. You can just stick your fist in it, and you would use that to put oil and drop a wick in. So, ein polchasin esaner, we can't form a lamp, mipnei shuosa keli, because we are making a kli, we're making a functional utensil. The ein osin pechamim biyomtav. Also, we cannot make charcoal. Charcoal is a functional item. You can't make it on Yontif. You can't for sure make it on Shabbos, but on Yontif, they would make it by putting out a fire, and you would have what was left over. For example, if you were burning wood, then you put it out, that would turn into charcoal, so you can't do that because it would be used thereafter. That's making a kli. Vein chotchim es apsila lishnayim, and also if you have a longer wick, you cannot cut it in two because you're going from having one wick to 2 weeks. Wicks, that is making a kli as well. And the next Tana, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he gives us a way that that can be done. Chotcha ba'ur lishtei neros. If you cut, literally, if you cut one longer wick in two with fire, that would be acceptable. How would you do that? You would actually take two lamps and you would put the two ends of the long wick, one into one lamp, one into the other. lamp meaning two kelim, two bowls, for example, and each would have oil in it. So you put one end of one wick in one, the other end of the same wick in the other, and light it in the middle. And it would be the fire that would cut those in two. It would cut that one longer wick into two smaller wicks. And because it looks like you're simply lighting the wick, not that you are explicitly making a second wick out of this one longer wick, that would be permitted on Yontif. Mishnah Hay continues discussing the prohibition of making a kli, a utensil, on Yontif. Ein shovrin et acheres. We'll start with that is the way that they used to cook fish. Maliach is a roast, to roast a salted fish, was that they used to put it on a certain type of metal, a metal grill of some sort, and the problem was that the fish would get burnt too quickly because it was close to the fire on the metal, so they used to insulate it a little bit by shovri metacheres. You cannot break a piece of earthenware. In other words, they would use the broken earthenware to put between the metal grill and the fish, so it would insulate it from the fire a little bit so the fish wouldn't get burned. You also had another option, in chotchim aniyar, you also cannot tear a piece of paper and use that piece of paper, for example, dipping it in oil, and also that would insulate it a little bit from the fire. That is not permitted to do is the breaking of the earthenware piece or cutting the piece of paper, because that again is a tikkun kli. You are making a utensil on Yontif. We're permitted to cook, but we're not allowed to do that type of preparation for the cooking. It could have been done before Yontif. Continuing, Vein Gorfin Tanur Vekiraim, their ovens were plastered on the inside, and if the plaster fell in, oftentimes it would fall, pieces of plaster would come off. We can imagine, even if we had our technology and it was made of plaster, it falls off sometimes, certainly inside an oven when it's constantly getting heated. So it would not be permitted to remove the plaster that fell into the oven if it's hindering the cooking process a little bit, because that is still repairing of the oven, making it more functional. However, aval mekavshin, it would be permitted to kovesh, to press down. If you have ash and dirt and other things on the floor of the oven, it's permitted to push it down. That's not considered a tikkun. That's not considered repairing the oven. You're simply pressing it down, although it's making the oven work a little bit better. That's not considered a real repair. Continuing, talking about some halachas that relates to cooking in ovens. This isn't going to be talking about a tikkun kli so much, but as we'll see, vein makifin shtei chavios, it's not permitted to put two barrels, one next to each other, with a gap between them, and on top of them, lishpos al to put on top of them a pot. In other words, this would be a kind of an oven, a makeshift oven, because they would have the pot on top and they could put a fire underneath and cook the pot on top. So this is a problem of looking like you are doing the malacha of building, because you're putting two barrels next to each other with something on top. It is very similar to building something. And continuing, ven somchim et haketera babakas. A kedera is a pot. If you have a pot that needs to be supported, for example, it's not balanced well, so it would not be permitted to use a piece of wood on Yontif to balance out that pot. And this Tana of this Mishnah is of the view that a piece of wood, it is mulchan, even when you're allowed to use a piece of wood, it's specifically for firewood, specifically for burning a fire, and not for other uses. For other uses, it is muksa. So to simply take a piece of wood that was going to be used for firewood and use it to balance something, that is not permitted. Similarly, v'chein badalis, the same thing would apply if you need something to support your door that is coming unhinged, or it's just not very straight, and you want to do that on Yontif, that is not permissible, because that piece of wood is muksa. It's been designated only for firewood and not for fixing a door. And continuing, another malacha when it comes to using of a piece of wood. Here we're talking about using a staff. It's not permitted to walk around and to lead your animal by coaxing it forward with a makel, which is with a stick on Yontif. The problem here is it looks like you're going to be going a distance and taking it to the market, which is forbidden on Yontif. We can't buy and sell animals, so we can't look like we are going off to the market with this animal. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Mati, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon disagree. you are not giving your that impression off simply by leading your animal because you have a stick to guide it in your hand. Mishnah Vav has another machlokes regarding wood on Yontif. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer is of the view. If somebody wants to use a small twig, a small sliver of wood as a toothpick, no tel adam kisam milshelefanav, it's permitted for somebody to take that sliver of wood from in front of him. In front of him means as long as it's in your house, even though you haven't actively prepared it for a use of anyantiv, but because it's in your house already, that is not going to be muksa, and you can use it lachatzos boshinav, and you can use it to pick your teeth, use it as a toothpick, and continuing umend gavev min hachatzer umadlik, and you can also gather together twigs that are in your courtyard, in your yard outside, and you permitted to use that as firewood. In other words, even though you haven't gathered it together before Yontif, it is scattered in your yard, but that still is considered prepared. It's not muksa because it's in your yard and you can use it for burning a fire. Shekol ma shebechatzer muchanu, everything that is in your yard is considered prepared for Yontif purposes. It is not muksa. However, v'chachamim omrim, they disagree on two counts. They disagree, number one, that you cannot collect wood. Even if it's in your house, little twigs, little slivers of wood, you cannot take that for purposes of using it as a toothpick. That is going to be muksa. And also they disagree that you can't take anything that is in your chatzar if it's not been gathered together before Yontif. So they disagree on both of those. And their language is as follows. It's pretty short. Megabev Mishalafanav Umed Madlik. You're only permitted to gather together what's in your house. In other words, if it's out of your house, you can't be collecting it. It had to be collected before Yontif. So what's in your house, you can collect, but not for using it for any reason other than umadlik, using it for firewood. It is not considered muchan. It is, in other words, muksa if it's in your house for any other purpose other than lighting a fire. So you can collect it if it's in the house, and you use it for a fire, and you cannot collect it outside of the house. It had to be collected before Yontif, according to Chachamim. Mishnah Zayin teaches us that we are permitted to use fire when it has been lit already before Yontif, but we cannot create a new fire on Yontif. Ein motzin es ha'or, it's not permitted to create a fire. Lo mina eitzim, not by rubbing two pieces of wood together. Velo mina avanim, or not rubbing two special pieces of rock together that can create a spark. Velo min ha'afar, and not by digging in very hard dirt that could cause a spark. Velo min ha'maim, literally not from the water, but it's talking about when you have a water in a glass dish, in a glass bowl, for example, and you want to use that as a magnifying glass to burn something. These are all ways of creating fire that is that are problematic on Yontif because it's nolad. It's creating something new, and that is not a way that we are allowed to use fire. We can only use existing fire. Continuing, ve'ein melabnin es hare'afin litzlos b'hem. It is not permitted to heat up re'afim, our earthenware tiles. If you think about the what's used on some of our roofs, and the way that they would make this is they would have those earthenware tiles, but to make them really strong, they would have to put them under fire. And that's what really strengthened them and completed the tikkun of that kli, that completed the making of that vessel, and that would be prohibited. That last stuff, for example, cooking, roasting in those re'afim, in those tiles on Yontif, that is prohibited, although cooking is permitted, but because you would be using these earthenware tiles for the first time, in other words, you would be using fire under them and complete the process of making them, that was considered tikkun kli, that is the final process in its manufacturing, and that's prohibited. Continuing, v'od amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was the Tana of the prior Mishnah who brought a kula, and we're going to now bring another kula from Rabbi Eliezer. So in addition to what Rabbi Eliezer said in the prior Mishnah, he said as follows, Omed Adam al Hamukta Erev Shabbos b'Shvi'is, we're talking here about somebody who had fruits that he put out to dry, for example, figs, grapes, and he put it out to dry, and while it's drying, that is considered muksa. It's not been prepared, it can't be used, but we're talking about a situation that some of them are sufficiently dried that it could be used. And we're talking also, just also a little bit more background, we're talking about during the Shemitah year, that it says that somebody can stand watching, looking out over those fruits that he has drawing on Erev Shabbos of the Shemitah year. Why the Shemitah year? Because on Shabbos, we don't have to worry then about taking Trumas and Maestras, because during the Shemitah year, we don't have any obligation to take Trumas and Maestras. So then what it's saying is, even though typically this fruit would be muktza because it's in the drying process, somebody can get up and say, Erev Shabbos, as long as it's during the Shemitah year, I am saying right now, V'omer mikan ani ochel machar, I'm going to eat from this area. In other words, I'm going to eat from this fruit on Shabbos tomorrow. That is enough. Or from also Erev Shabbos, same would apply for Erev Yantif, and that would be sufficient to remove that fruit from being muksa, even though he's not designating specific fruits, and even though he's doing no action, he's simply saying, I'm going to eat from these. That would be sufficient, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to take away the muksa status, and he can eat of that fruit the next day. The Chachamim Omrim, Chachamim disagree. They're machmir ad shiyirsham v'yomar mikan v'adkan. Not only do they require yirsham is to make a mark. In other words, you have to designate through an action specifically not only that you can eat from the fruit in general, but also mikan v'adkan. You have to designate specific places, specific ones, in order to remove it from the muksa status.